apartments. There are advantages to working with apartments over single family houses. Working with apartments, I started buying apartments, number one, and I did it because of the cash flow. My goal was to have 20 properties in 20 years and own them all free and clear and have this great cash flow and not have to work again. Little did I know that after 4 years of investing, the amount of cash flow that I had coming into my house would have allowed me to retire if I wanted to, because we were moving and shaking and buying these things. And we were buying properties, apartments, that most investors didn't want. They heard how easy it is to buy and sell single-family houses, and they were afraid of apartments because of the tenants. How many people are afraid of tenants? Yeah, I'm going to show you a way where you don't have to deal with your tenants. You can work through a management company, and in doing so, you really just need to read one report a month. And all you got to do is you need to factor in those costs. Management company is going to cost you anywhere from 5 to 8% of gross collected rents if it's 20 units or over. And if it's 3 to 20 units, it's going to cost you anywhere from 7 to 10% of gross collected rents. Factor those costs in when you're buying the property, and then you can have a management company doing your work. You should factor some costs in there anyways, because you're going to be selling your property, and you may be selling to an investor, and he's going to factor them in. So it's going to have to cash flow for that investor to buy anyways. Let's go over the advantages. You really should add apartment buildings to your repertoire. We buy and sell a lot of single-family houses. We keep apartment buildings for wealth and long-term cash flow. And the major advantage is cash flow, because cash flow equals power. Power equals freedom. Every time I go out and talk to another group, I always hold up these checks. And I show people the profit checks. These are profit checks, not rent checks. The profit checks that come into my house month in, month out, whether I decide to get out of bed in the morning or not, if I want to go skiing again and refracture my nose like I did last time, if I want to take a lot of time off in the summertime, the checks still come in. If I want to go to Vegas and blow all these checks, you know what happens next month? These checks come right back in the house. This is what cash flow is. Cash flow equals freedom. You got to think to yourself, what will you do when checks like this come into your house? Will you buy a bigger house so you can settle down with your family? Will you go out and get yourself a sexy new car? Or maybe give more to your church or a struggling loved one? You know, what will you do when these checks start coming into your house? And it didn't start with all these checks. It started with one check. That property I showed you earlier, 25 Newton Street. In that first year, I kept four of the houses, four of the first 11 houses that I bought, and I had four. The next year, after buying and selling so many properties, there was five of them that had really good cash flow that I wanted to keep. And that's how it developed. You know, some people collect stamps. I collect apartment houses. You can do it part-time and you can be your own boss. And the reason you can do that is because you can work with management companies. And what you want to do is, to find a good management company, you go on right on the internet, go on www.irem.org. That stands for the Institute of Real Estate Management. They're excellent for managing properties, getting good information. And when you get on that site, you want to look for a CPM. It stands for Certified Property Manager. These are the people that have gone out and taken the time from their business, gone somewhere in the country and sat down for 4 or 5 days to study how their business is run and how to run it more effectively. And at the end of it, they have to pass a test. And then they have to take 5 or 6 of these courses and pass the very last test at the end to get their CPM designation. So these people are the cream of the crop. And you can click on to CPM and you can find all the CPMs in Boston. You can find all the CPMs in Brockton. If you want to buy in Syracuse, New York, you can find all the CPMs in Syracuse, New York. You just type in the city and they'll tell you who the CPMs are. They send you one report a month, an income and expense report. Should be monthly, should be side by side, so you can see on an Excel spreadsheet is best. So you can see if your income is going up, if it's going down, if you're trending higher on your expenses or trending down, you want to know. And that's when you pick up a phone and ask why. And then after that, what you do is you cash your checks. It really is simple. You know, it sounds really simple, and it is really simple. Have other people manage your properties. Yes, we do manage our own properties, actually. When we buy in-state, we manage all our properties within the Brockton area. And actually, Tammy manages most of them. What I did is I learned a lot by trial and error. I made a lot of mistakes, both Rob and I. Rob owns a lot of the properties with me. We made a lot of mistakes, and then every time we made a mistake, I created a system so I didn't make the same mistake twice. I read everything I could get my hands on, but 8 years ago, there wasn't a lot out there to learn. So then, in order to grow my business, I delegated it, and I delegated it to Tammy and a couple other people in the office. So now, very rarely do I talk to a tenant. Only when somebody is in trouble do I walk up the walk.
Yes, on the 8 to 10% property manager fee, is that per property or is that All your properties.
Per property.
Per property.
Yep.
Also, when you first started,
yeah.
How did you collect rents? Did you go?
We went door to door.
Door to door.
Yeah, we went back two or three different times to try to collect the rents, and it was a big pain. Yeah. We'd be going through Brockton on a Friday night with our hips, you know, bulging with money. No gun. Yeah. It's probably the stupidest thing we ever did.
And as far as snow removal, did you go shovel yourself?
Or? Snow removal?
Yeah.
Plow. Yeah, we actually
sidewalks
owned. We hire plow people to plow our stuff, and they plow and shovel. Some of our tenants will shovel themselves as well, and there was actually a court case in which the judge stated that the tenant was responsible for the shoveling of the walkway because there was a slip and fall case. How do we collect our rents now? We send out an invoice on the 20th with an invoice for the rent. It has a little envelope in there, self-addressed stamp. They mail the rent back. If it's not back by the 5th, we send them out an eviction notice, and it gives them 14 days to pay it. And it's really a nice letter that we send out because we really don't want to evict them, but we want our rent on time. Then we charge them an extra $25 fee for making us send out that letter. That's the slap on the wrist that gets them to pay the rent on time next time. The next is tax-free money. You can get tax-free money from apartment houses two ways. You can refinance, pull some money out, purchase more property, or you can do what's called 1031 exchanges. You can sell a property, buy another like-kind property, real estate into real estate. Doesn't matter if you're going from an apartment house to industrial property, apartment house to commercial, or vice versa. As long as it's real estate, then the government, the IRS, has the 1031 tax deferred exchange rule, which means you don't have to pay any taxes. You can use all your profit, put it into another building. It allows you to buy a bigger building because of that. And you don't have to pay taxes until you finally sell the building. So you can move step by step by step by step and do these 1031 exchanges throughout the rest of your life and not pay taxes on any of those gains. And then when you die, as an estate planning, what the IRS does now is they'll allow you to, say if you bought a property for $100,000 10 years ago. Now you step up to a $10 million property. The IRS will take the basis of your property from the day you died. So it's no longer $100,000, it's $10 million. So all those profits are tax-free to your heirs, relatives. What do you care? You're dead. Good estate planning. You'll have this huge cash flow by then. Big cash flow when you start getting up there. And I show you how in four steps you can go from $50,000 in equity to $1,080,000 in four moves. You can create great wealth in doing that. What happens is, watch my hands, when somebody buys a building from you, what happens is your tenants are paying down your mortgage and your property is appreciating month after month after month. And in there is your equity, and that's your wealth. And if you've got one property, two properties, three properties, four properties, your wealth increases, you know, exponentially. Those are the big checks at the end. You get a higher increase in an up market. When markets cycle, the precursor to all up markets is job growth. The precursor to all down markets is job loss. So what happens with job growth is jobs come into an area. People migrate and follow those jobs. When they come into the area, they don't go and start buying single family houses right away. They go into apartments. So therefore, the demand for apartment increases. And what happens when demand increases? The price increases, right? So the prices for the apartments goes up. On the reverse effect, when markets start to stabilize or go down, people stop buying single-family houses. They stay in apartments, so it stabilizes the rents, and they start getting the foreclosure rate throughout the rest of the country, except for this state, is really high. When people start getting pre-foreclosed on, they start going into apartments themselves, so the demand stabilizes, and they don't go down as low as single-family houses. How many people own apartment houses right now? About a fifth of the room. There's less competition. There's not a lot of people out there doing it. And why? Is because there's not a lot of people teaching it, and it takes one more step to learn. It's a different way of analyzing. You can't analyze apartments the way you do single-family houses. There's less risk involved. I have a single-family house, and I have a three-family, and I lose my tenant on my single-family house, or if I lease optioned it or I'm just renting it out, I've lost 100% of my income. My cash flow is probably $200 or $300 a month normally on a single-family house. All right, so I'm going to have to come out of pocket and pay that mortgage one or two or however many months it's going to take me to refill it. I've probably lost all my profits for the year on that house. All right, I have a three-family house and I lose a tenant, I've still got two rents coming in. And those rents are going to pay my mortgage, at least. Maybe give me some cash flow. If I have six units, I lose one, I got five. If I get 10 units, I lose one, I get nine. The more units you have under one roof, the less risk you have on your property. And then there's economies of scale. Say if we have six single-family houses, we have one six-family. Look what I've got here. I've got six roofs that need to be repaired or replaced somewhere down the line. I've got six lawns that need to be maintained, six driveways that need to be maintained. I've got six tenants spread throughout a city or a town that I live that have to be maintained at some point. On the six-family property, I've got one roof, I've got one lawn, I've got six tenants centrally located. The economies of scale for apartment houses are a lot greater than they are for single-family houses. And the upside of potential is huge. Education, you can learn one of two ways. You can do what we did. We went out and made a bunch of mistakes, you know, or you can learn. You can find a mentor, and you can learn from somebody who's already made the mistakes. And then again, it's all about the cash flow. It really is all about the cash flow. When you get to a point in your life where you've got so many checks coming in that you can just decide what you want to do. When Robin comes in, she does about 50 houses a year, okay? She's flipping them, flipping them, flipping them. If she wants to take 4 or 5 months off, what she's going to have to do to get another check is to buy and sell another house, right? If I decide I'm going to take 4 or 5 months off, I still have the checks coming in month after month, and I got my management company managing the properties. That's the power and the freedom and the advantages of apartment house investing. Let me just show, before I start taking questions, let me just show you a couple of apartment deals, and I'll show you some of these incredible spreads. This is one that we got cheap. This was a boarded up house in Brockton, and I chased this one for a year and a half to get it. It was a six family house. It was boarded up. We got it cheap for $48,000. We had a positive cash flow of $870. We refinanced it in 2000 to do the repairs. The city told us that we had to take it from a six family down to a three family, or they wouldn't give us any water to the building. We ended up selling it for $348,000. We profited $235,000 as a three family. But we've gotten quite a few checks like that. And some people think, you know, well, the market's appreciated so rapidly, you can't do it today. Well, we bought this property. The guy called me from Florida. He called me from an out-of-state owner's letter. We purchased it for $161. We rehabbed it about $6,000. We just sold it in November for $313,000. We profited $133,000. That was the check that we got at the closing. This is the closing statement. That's the seller's side. That's what you walk away with. That's what we did on that one. So, you know, the deals are out there. You just got to know how to analyze them and what to do when you get them.
For commercial loans for buildings with 5 units or more,
yeah.
What is typically the percentage down that a bank will need in order to finance?
Banks now are looking, you can get in at 10% down with a lot of banks. They've become a lot more liberal, but they're typically looking for 20 or 25% down for 5 or more units, sometimes 30, depending on what bank you go to.
So it just depends on the bank to get the 10%
yeah.
down?
Yeah. There's a company called Gromberg Financial, a national company, that will do 10% down now.
Can you tell us about your courses and your boot camps?
I got a couple of courses. One's called Apartment House Riches. The other one's called How to Estimate and Renovate Houses. I got an apartment boot camp coming up. But you know what you can do? You can go on the website, www.rementor.com, and you can learn about all that stuff.
Sell or finance.
Yeah.
Are you up for that?
Do I sell or finance?
Yes.
One of my properties? And will I sell you a property and do sell or financing? No. I don't like to sell or finance. I want all my money up front. I try to get seller financing as much as possible, but I don't sell the same way I buy, put it that way. And if you call my office, I'll get you that.
What's your office?
781-447-6881.